This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacota and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voices. In this episode, we speak with Cormac Lynch from Ahavine. Cormac starts by telling us a little bit about his early family life. He recalls his school days in Killa and the reasons his parents chose to send him there.
The distance was kind of equal between Killa and Kilcreddon. So there were shops in Killa, and I suppose our parents wanted us lunchtime to have access to the shops for sweets and goodies and that thing. So that explains why we all went to the Killa school. At times we walked, went by bicycle at other times, and there was another woman who she'd a donkey and car, and she was bringing her daughter to the school, same school, who lived near us. I travelled with her, but the other older members of the family, they walked, and at times they had bicycles. You'd be lucky that time if you had an old bad bicycle, you know. Of course, money was scarce everywhere.
And how long did you stay in school? What age did you leave school at?
I left at about, I suppose it was about 16. My ambition was to go farming anyway.
Cormac recalls two local poets, Padraig Piarais Condún, born in 1777, and Piarais MacGarrett, born in 1702. Both poets were born near Ballymacota, but both had very different lifestyles. The young Cormac recalls having to learn their poems in school.
Padraig Piarais Condún, he was born in 1777 and he died about, was it 1856 at that time. He was born and reared down the Boreen. And I think there's one more wall of his house still standing. He was evicted. He went to, he immigrated to America, yeah, and he wrote poetry. I remember I had a poetry book going to school, Filiach na Gael, and there was about two of him, his poems in it. Yeah, one was Thorvan Varla, The Waking of the Bell in English. He was a bit of a ne'er-do-well, I think. Farming wasn't his strong point, and he spent a lot of time in the local pubs. Then over beyond Ballymacota, there was another poet there, Piarais MacGarrett. He wrote Roscommon na Mooin, and he wrote this book now I'm referring to. There was three or four of his poems in it. I think he was described as a classical poet, more educated than the other men. But the story goes, anyway, at the time, like when the priests were outlawed and the mass was outlawed by the British authorities, to avoid being evicted, he took the soup, as they say, and he turned over and he practiced his religion in the Protestant church. And it was over in Kilcreddon now. There was a Protestant church at the time, so there in the graveyard. It's an old ruin now, of course. But then after Catholic emancipation, he turned back again. He held on to his land while he was, he turned over to Protestantism, and then Reformation, then he came back and became a Catholic.
Cormac reveals some history from the house he grew up in and the house he still resides in today. On doing research, it would seem the RIC barracks was set up after 1918.
The house was built about 1860. There was a plaque of cement on one of the chimneys, and I remember it fell off, I suppose. you know, with gales or whatever. And 1860 was in this piece of cement, written with a trowel or something, 1860. So, fairly ancient, an old farmhouse, and there's a lot more farmhouses in the area as old as it, I'd imagine. It was a police barrack one time. That would be the time of the old RIC.
Is there anything remaining to show that it was from that?
There is.
Is there?
There are iron crooks sticking out of some of the bars. And when we left them there, we never took them down. Where they just hanged the guns.
And was there just one policeman there, or was there maybe a few living there? Or?
Oh, there'd be a few, I'd say, yeah. There were local women who used cook for them. And then a house in a remote area, away from any village. I can never understand why it was made a police barrack.
Gosh, it would be really interesting to look back and try and see.
Yeah, because one of the fields north of us now is known as the Barrack Field.
Ireland of the 1940s was one of the poorest countries in Europe. 4,000 people were dying from tuberculosis every year. A diagnosis of TB was like being handed a death sentence. Many young men and women in Ireland spent long years in the artificial ward of the TB sanatorium, and most expected to die there. There was a terrible stigma attached to the disease, which was rarely spoken of directly. Cormac speaks briefly about his sister and an unexpected family tragedy.
My sister entered the convent in 1946 in England, and she got TB and died after about 6 months after.
And how old was she at that time?
She was only 20. Yeah.
So that was a very sad loss for you.
It was, yeah, a terrible blow to the family. TB was rampant in those days, you know.
The young Cormac had a love of music and was a founder of the O'Neill Crowley Cayley Band that played locally in the area. Peter O'Neill Crowley was the leader of the 100-strong IRB unit in Ballymacoda during the Fenian Rising of 1867. Cormac speaks about learning an instrument and his opinion on traditional Irish music in Ireland today.
We called the band O'Neill Crowley Band because the local Fenian was O'Neill Crowley, and he's buried in the churchyard in Ballymacoda. I don't think any of us had a knowledge of written music, really. We started off from scratch, and it was very slow and difficult to learn any instrument if you don't have a music teacher. And at that time, there was very few music teachers around, you know. And we picked it up the hard way, and we got together and we recorded stuff off the radio, and we played it over and over again, you know, on our tape recorder. And we got going that way.
There was a hall as well in Ballymacoda, wasn't there?
Yeah,
the dance hall.
Yeah, well, it was there. We formed the band. We played there first, McLaughlin's Hall. It's still there now, but it's going to be derelict, you know. There's no longer nothing. There's nothing happening there now.
Whereabouts was that situation?
It was there in the middle of the village. Yeah, I mean, you'd pass it now and you mightn't notice it, you know. The present hall now was that was built about 1952. That's over further in the eastern part of the village. Then over at Nacadoon, the Dominican priests there, well, their camp is still there. And they had Cayley dances there once or twice a week. You know, I often played there back in the 1960s. Up to, I suppose, about 10 or 12 years ago, they had dances there.
Yeah. Do you think that the traditional Irish music is dying out a little bit, or do you think it's still alive and well?
No, it's very much alive now, I think, because there's a very good Cortis branch in Yarl, and there's a big number of children learning different instruments. They have the classes, and there's a big number now playing music in town. So it's very much alive, I think.
Farming was a huge part of the young Cormac's life, and he speaks about issues that affected small rural farmers back then, such as rates and rent. Cormac remembers fondly, taking his animals to the mart and selling them there.
You bring an animal to kill a fair now, and you might get about maybe 15 or 20 pounds, you know, for a good animal. I know in our case anyway, we'd usually about 4 cattle would pay the rates for the year. Now, it was based on the valuation, and we had a very high valuation. Farmers back east of us now had a much lower valuation, and we had a lot of wet land, you know, it was wet and boggy. But if you live near a river, long ago people used to bring boatloads of sand and ore weed up the river, coming up with the tide, and they'd spread that out over the land. You know, because I remember in a neighbouring farmer now, I was picking potatoes one time, and I could see seashells in the earth, you know, which proved that there was sand and ore weed brought up the river. And that was supposed to be, you know, a great boost for farmers. Or if you're living near a town or a railway, your valuation was very high.
And did that go to the government, was it?
The county council. You get you played half the year's rate in maybe the spring, and then the autumn after the harvest you'd pay the remainder of it. Then there was a rent also, and the rent was much smaller, all right. And you I remember our rent would be about £32 per year, I think £16 a half a year. But then the rent was struck off after a while, because the tenants who were reinstated after what was called the Planet Campaign, the landlord days, their rent was struck off. I remember our rent was struck off about 1967. And there were other farmers who kept on paying rent for a few more years after that, you know, because their families were reinstated later maybe.
Cormac speaks about how emigration was a problem for his generation, as it is today.
There were families now who immigrated, and you know, at that time there were big families around the area. Well, every house didn't house a big family, but a lot of them did. And now we have big houses and small families. Things were tough, life was tough, and I suppose, I don't know, they didn't suffer from malnutrition, but I'd say, you know, they saw a lot of hardship and hunger in their time, you know, the children go to school. Yeah, and the people work for farmers, you know, and the pay was, even people for me, older than me now, I heard them telling stories about they work for farmers for about 6 shillings per week, you know, in the old money, and where there was 240 pence in a pound in those days. But how they existed I don't think there was any dole going back there. Going back now, before my time, maybe going 70, 80, 90 years. I'm sure a lot of people, they work for farmers just to get a good bite to eat. They'd get, I suppose they'd get scraps of meat after the dinner, and they'd get bread, and usually the farmer would look after the family well, you know. You know, they were satisfied to work just to exist, or, you know, stay alive.
We would like to thank Cormac Lynch for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing his memories and stories from his life. Cormac's favourite piece of music is the Hebrew Chorus by Verdi.
Thank you.
Older Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladiesbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio Youghal production.